Me to welcome everyone to this meeting, and hopefully they can hear me. Clearly, everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak. Who was that? Sorry, it's Willie Henry Ailey sewing up a stick there. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting, and members will be temporarily excluded for discussions and in committee items. Members of the public and the press must refrain from using instant messaging facilities during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for the second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared the interest, the members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded except when Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure the microphone is switched off before microphone is switched on before speaking. Members should remind it that there's any personal responsibility for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wishes to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware of any active decision that does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, councillors, we'll begin with apologies. Have we any apologies tonight? No apologies? None. Okay, under Chairman's remarks, this is the last meeting of ERT, and we have three councillors leaving. One is Dermot Curran. Dermot has done 50 years as a councillor. And Dermot, you have seen a lot, you have heard a lot. Who is Echo? Henry. And you've covered a lot of miles on behalf of your party, Dermot. And as a member of this committee, I would just like to thank you for all the work that you have done, and also a very good friend of mine. And we also have two other councillors who are retiring. One is Gary Stokes and John Traynor. Are they online?
Sure, Gary here. Chair, thanks for thinking of me. Really,
Gary,
appreciate it.
And Gary, you've covered a lot of mail yourself, and found you a very good friend. Any time I've ever asked you a question, you've got an honest answer. Maybe not, didn't always like it, but I got that. And John, as I was on the council along with your Muller, I think it's John on. No. Well, I'll maybe speak to John later on. And also, we have a new councillor here tonight, Geraldine. Geraldine, you're very welcome to join us. And, well, I wish you all the best, Geraldine. I don't know what else I can say. Your predecessor, Charlie Casey, now covered a lot of miles, along with myself. So hopefully we can get on as well as that. Okay, folks. Oh, Dermot, do you want to come in?
Just very briefly, Chair. And I will be brief. First of all, thank you for your very kind remarks and for here. Yes, they have been a long time, and councils will have to go there. And I've met a lot of friends across the board. I found that, and I found them to work with me and help me on many occasions, and yourself too as well. And even my present people here, the officers from every committee, and even my colleagues in the chamber, you know, have always been very kind to me and helped me wherever they could go. And I appreciate that very much. And I assure you that you'll remember, or I'll remember you, but I'm just not away yet. Okay.
Well done, Dermot. Dermot, you also wish to come in under Chairman's remarks with a short item. So, seeing as the last meeting, your last lap, I'll allow you in.
Can you turn on your microphone, Dermot?
Dermot, need the microphone on.
Well, Chair, yesterday was a very important day and a very wonderful day as far as people from Northern Ireland and Ireland were concerned. In relation to, we had two wins, first in the rugby, and then the second one was a very important one, the Oscar win of an Irish goodbye last night. Felt very much as if the whole entire island was behind the team that made this beautiful human film, which was shot in around the County Down coast. I will pay tribute to the entire cast and crew of the film, but I think particular praise must go along to James Morton, who was a terrific ambassador for Northern Ireland and, of course, an award-winning season. The film and the television industry itself across Northern Ireland is going from strength to strength, and we have some of the best talent here in the world. And the Oscar win for an Irish goodbye should serve as a future reminder to all young people who dream of pursuing a career in television or film, and they can note that anything can be achieved. I can only hope that the industry will continue to grow and reflect all the good about the shared home place. And I know Newry Mourne and District Council will continue to play a role in this part of the journey, for it has a beautiful district. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Dermot, 100% with every word you said there. We're covering a lot in the film industry. And it was good to know that James Morton actually filmed a bit of that in Sinn Féin. So, and as Father Ivan, I'm sure many of you know, is also a presenter as well. So definitely James deserves a lot of credit for taking the industry to where he has taken it. Okay. There's no other items there. I'll bring you on to the declaration of interest. Anybody to declare at this point of the meeting? If not, I'll take you through the action sheets of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting on Monday the 13th of February. I take it you've got all the minute in front of you there. Has anybody? How many pages is there? 4 pages. I need a proposer.
Who proposed, sir?
Dermot, the proposer. And a second, Terry. Okay. Nobody anything else? I don't see anybody coming up. No. Okay, that brings us on then to the item number 4, which is the first notice of motion, and it's from Una Hanlon. Una, do you wish to take us the floor at this moment in time?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I don't think there's any need for me to read it out again because they've read it out of full council. Is that okay?
I'm happy enough. You're happy enough, Una?
Yeah, no bother. So just to make a few comments before, you know, we make a decision on the motion. So Sinn Féin are acutely aware of the level of housing need across this council area. People need access to social and affordable housing, and council needs to play its part. Every day our councillors are dealing with housing. It's the number one issue in the constituency offices and with ourselves right across the district. Sinn Féin has urged the housing executive to work with local councils as a community planning partner to identify and assess potential sites of public sector land for usage of public housing. It's important housing executive work with councils. Am I echoing, Emma?
No, you're okay, Una. It sounds okay here.
Sorry. It's important housing executive work with local with councils and other areas of work to identify where barriers exist to increasing housing supply. This would include, for example, land availability, planning, infrastructure issues such as water and sewage, transport, energy and digital networks, finance and investment and more. Housing-led regeneration plans require local partnerships to deliver over 100,000 homes over the next 15 years. Set out the draft housing supply strategy published for consultation by previous DFC Minister Deirdre Hargey. This council should include officials doing audits with regards to council land and property. In consultation with our community, we have a unique ability through the LDB process to not only lead efforts but to identify potential locations for housing development and also to be forward thinking in terms of building design, accessibility, sustainability and energy efficiency. This should be done based on a shared aim of realising long-term social, environmental and economic benefits for the people of Newry, Morne and Down. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Una. Yes, Una, I would agree with you, especially where the sewage is concerned. It's holding a lot of our developments back at this moment in time. There's quite a few that would like to make a move, especially in my area as well, in Rollin, and it's the sewage is sort of holding them all up. But I have a few people here want to have a comment. Cadogan, you're first there.
Yes, I was talking to Una about this since the council meeting, and we were looking at the graphs for Newry, Morne and Down and how our area is between 4 and 5 times worse than any other area in Northern Ireland in terms of a shortage of rural area social and affordable housing. Now, I know that the council area as a whole lags behind and has a significant need, but it's particularly bad in rural areas. And one of the things that happened when we were looking at PPS 21 and its replacement, going back a year or so, Willie Clark was involved. I think you yourself was involved, chairperson. We came up with a list of amendments that would need to be done to it to make it easier for social and affordable housing to be built at the edge of villages. Particularly, and the document that our planners came up with, which is called CO07 or CO2, to replace PPS 21, found widespread support from housing associations and the housing executive. The difficulty is, of course, it's not going to be published until maybe 2027, whenever the LDP plan comes in. So the difficulty we have is that one of our solutions that we could take as a council is already underway, and I know a lot of us supported it at the time. So I'm not sure how to tackle that, and I was going to suggest to Una that maybe we add a sentence into the bottom half of her motion to consider how the replacement for PPS 21 could be brought forward more quickly, because it would actually provide a mechanism whereby housing associations, the housing executive, community groups, cooperative groups, village development associations could all bring forward social and affordable housing anywhere outside of any village in our area, as long as they had the support of the housing executive. So, Una, I would wonder, would you stick in a sentence, something like discussing with planners the possibility of bringing forward the PPS 21 replacement more quickly than the current LDP? That's all, Chairperson.
Is that within our gift in council, Councillor Enright? I sort of took the lead that it may be a departmental legislative issue there.
Well, we discussed this with the department and they were happy for Newry, Morne and Down to bring forward its own policy, and we've done so. And the one or two other councils have brought forward policies of their own, including Mid Ulster. But essentially, the housing executive and the housing associations have supported our replacement for PPS 21, and it's now sitting there waiting to be agreed as part of the overall LDP. So, I mean, the department itself was also consulted on our new PPS 21, and it supported it.
Okay.
So, we've been through the consultation process with all the partners. It's
okay.
Just the problem is it's going to sit there on the shelf for the next few years. Or else we could say to devise ways of bringing forward the PPS 21 development, or consider transitional arrangements until the LDP plan is published.
And I have a few more speakers here before I bring Anthony in here. We'll take them first, so if that's okay here. Wally Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. Wholly support the motion. This is a real problematic area that I've raised, and as Cadogan says, it must have been at the start of the mandate. There's a serious issue in my area in Newcastle, for example. There's no land left that is zoned for building. So we're the construction industry and the population waiting for housing are crippled. And even by the recommendation, we're still in that sort of position. With a situation where, you know, even never mind social housing, there's a huge demand for social housing. We've rectified that slightly by the housing associations buying, sites that have already got planning permission, which is within the town centre, apartment blocks and stuff like that, which is alleviating the situation slightly. But the problem is that what we do from now to the local development plan is published. You're talking with a good wind 2027, 2028. A situation where people are sleeping in cars, sleeping on, relatives of T's at the minute. You're talking about a property roughly about in Newcastle, about £800. If you're on the minimum wage, that's out of reach for people. And even at that stage, other people are coming into the area and buying or renting the house. Even buying houses is, it's chronic at the minute, for ordinary people to get on the ladder. So I'd be interested to hear what we can do between now and the local development plan, because when the Ardstown area plan was published, I said at the time in the Down Council that, this is not adequate housing, zone land for Newcastle. And the concentration was on Downpatrick at that time. Was the biggest concentration. Now, you've the issue of land banking, both in Newry and Downpatrick, where large areas of land is zoned, but it's not getting developed. So why as a council would we continue with that process if, the developers or the true infrastructure or whatever reason they won't develop the land? That's part of our housing allocation. That's our housing growth indicator. So I think it's done in the local development plan moving forward has to take, this into reason. Why zone land that's not going to be developed? I've heard people and our colleagues in Warren Point, there's land, large areas land zoned for industry, where it might be more appropriate if we could rezone it for housing. So it'd be interesting, the commentary coming back, how we're going to deal with the situation. We're talking probably 4 years, 3 or 4 years to the local development plan is published. What's people meant to do in the meantime? So I'd be interested to hear, is any sort of solutions been looked at? In 4 years, I haven't seen any. So I'd be interested to see what comes back. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think I'd go straight across the district, just what you're really after saying there, but Terry.
Thanks so much, Chair, and I'd like to thank Councillor O'Hanlon for introducing the motion, and I think it's, I echo the sentiments of the previous speakers that, support that and the aims and aspirations of the motion, and I think myself, we need more joined up thinking, and I think that joined up thinking should be treated as a matter of urgency, considering, so many people who are looking for a house are on housing lists, etc. And I think we also need to work with the agencies to ensure that we have the proper infrastructure to back it up and to ensure the delivery of building, etc. But again, Una, it's a very good motion, and we'll be supporting the aspirations and aims of your motion without any hesitation or doubt. But thanks for bringing it forward.
Okay. I've sparked a few questions with the comments here, Una, so I'm going to ask Lynn. Sorry, Lynn.
All right, Robert.
You nearly missed the boat there.
Sure, I have to say something to Una, sorry. Yeah, no, Una, we're happy enough in the DUP with what you're coming across with. But fair enough, I've listened to Willie there, what he said about zoning houses and one thing or another. There's actually another big problem that we have now, and it's actually developed, and it's actually developing into something very substantial, and that the sewage system, the infrastructure for sewage and all that there, is now not fit for purpose, so it isn't. I know there's developments in Kilkeel that actually cannot proceed. There's infrastructure, it's not there in Marin Point, Restrever, so there is. So this is just more than just what Willie is saying there, zoning more ground for that there. So there's all sorts of issues here, so there is just zoning it, it's not going to answer it, so it's not. But in general, we'd be very favourable there to the more social housing, the better, so we're no issue with that. But just, you have to take that on board too, and
there's other infrastructure. Mention that, Glenn.
Yeah, but it has actually turned into quite a big issue, so there's there. And the planning there, Pat Rennie actually told us there that they've now changed the position in the planning, and that used to be whenever an application for a development of houses was put in, it was just conditioned that the sewage had to be addressed afterwards. Now it has to be addressed beforehand, which is actually going to pretty much, like, I think it was down your country, Robert, you've run into massive problems. Development was nearly stopped, so it was completely because the infrastructure was not fit for purpose. So there's all sorts of issues here. But in general, anyway, we have no issue with your motion, so we haven't.
Thank you, Glenn.
Okay, I'm just going to bring Anthony in here to tidy up a few of those questions that were sparked.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the report that we've provided, just in summing that up very, very quickly, what we set out there in terms of what the development plan hopes to achieve is a series of policies and ultimately zonings and proposals that potentially have the potential to significantly change the way social and affordable housing is provided across the district. And I would commend the recommendations to you because they do have the potential to make significant changes. And the whole process allows us, once we get the plan adopted, to engage in regular reviews and updating to reflect, the circumstances as they develop within the district. In terms of the various issues that were raised, and there were a number of references to sewerage issues, infrastructure deficits, etc. We're conscious of that day and daily, and the plan, while it deals with those issues, the plan isn't the solution to those issues. This is where the various stakeholders have to work hand in hand to bring forward what is the proposal within the plan and to assure that those who are responsible for infrastructure, for sewage and for roads, etc., are able to deliver on that. Councillors Enright and Clark, I mean, in your own ways, you were talking about the plan coming too late. And I recognise that it is taking a considerable period of time to produce the plan. But what I would say in response to that is that these time frames are not unusual. They really aren't, and wherever you go in these islands, you will find that this is a very cumbersome process. But once we get that process, that plan adopted, then moving forward from there, the process of review and update should be much more straightforward. In terms of Councillor Enright's references to rural social housing and Councillor Clark's references to running out of land in Newcastle, etc. What I'd say is, as this plan progresses, when we get beyond the draft strategy phase and get into the period of zoning of lands in the second half of the plan, the further into that process you go, the more confidence there is that what has that what you've got there in terms of the drafts become sort of the accepted position, and therefore you probably don't have to wait until the very end when the plan is fully adopted. If enough work has been done and there's enough sign off by the Department for Infrastructure and the Planning Appeals Commission who conduct the public inquiries, if elements of the plan progress through there without any real difficulty, you can effectively start to implement those in an informal sort of way. And I think in terms of, I'll just finish here, in terms of running out of land or being in a position where you can't develop innovative rural proposals, I have said to councillors in the past, if you can demonstrate a compelling case to move ahead of the plan, that for whatever reason we cannot wait on the plan in certain circumstances, that's something that this committee would have to turn, the planning committee would have to turn its attention to, were it to be in receipt of planning applications. But what I would say in relation to that is to add a note of caution in that you have to be very careful that you wouldn't end up in a free-for-all whereby everybody was jumping on that bandwagon. It's very much a last resort kind of solution. But if we found ourselves in a position where genuinely housing schemes were not coming forward, then if it's urgent enough, then we need to find solutions to those. I'll leave it there, Chair.
Okay, councillors. I'm going to hand back to you here now to sum up. But I see Councillor Enright has also had a few suggestions here, and we are accepting them or not.
Yeah, that's
happy
enough. Yeah, you can
have that in. Okay. You want to sum up there, Anna, before I put that to the floor?
I don't really have anything other to... Sorry, somebody else talking?
Sorry, Wally.
Go for it.
No, I hear what Andy's saying, and I agree with that. You know, as we develop the plan, and we're sort of clear on, you know, zones of land that's close to the old area plan, that we maybe allow them to come through the planning committee and the scrutiny of the planning committee and allow development to take place. I think the point we're making is, you know, we can't sit back 3 or 4 years out from the new development plan without some sort of, you know, understand that, you know, lands close to the zoned land will be considered when they come through the local development plan, that, you know, there will be an understanding that these applications are coming through because of the demand. Because as I said, Newcastle 4 years ago, there was no land left, you know, so I'm sure there's very little now. Just from, you know, Anthony's perspective, how do we, you know, create that situation, that flexibility? And again, you don't want to, it's the point I made about, you know, overemphasizing maybe the development in Newry and Dupatic to the detriment of other big towns who can fulfill the development brief. As I said, lots of lands is land banked, hasn't been built upon. And what's the situation with that, Anthony? In the future, will lands that have been, you know, zoned, will they be taken off if they're not going to be developed? There's no point in having housing growth indicators, you know, and using your allocation up if they're not going to be developed. You know, so is there any understanding within the department in regards to that? I agree with Cadogan that needs that flexibility as well within rural areas. We hear, you know, opportunities for social housing at crossroads in rural areas. I know Cadogan's has brought through the Eco Village model, and maybe trying to adopt that alongside trying to develop the local development plan. And the local development plan is the way forward. It's more sustainable, you know, than, you know, ad hoc sort of approach. So, but I'm interested, Anthony, you know, what's the stage that we see applications coming through? Because obviously developers are nervous putting applications in and wasting money, you know. So, sort of, are we going to have a discussion with developers in towns where there is chronic shortage of land about maybe pulling together a development brief? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Willie. Anthony, do you want to start that?
Thanks, Chair. We're really caught between a rock and a hard place here, Councillor, because if you seek to move outside of the plan process, while that might suit some interested parties, it may not suit others, and there is a danger that we could get embroiled in all manner of legal disputes. If we were trying to get too far ahead of the plan, and you know, I'm not even sure that it's appropriate to be engaging in discussions with potential developers about, for example, sites sitting outside the development limits and giving indications that we might be favourably disposed towards development. So it's somewhere that we have to tread very, very carefully. I mean, our experience over the last number of years is that, you know, significant numbers of housing schemes are coming forward, both private housing and affordable housing. Now, I know it's not a uniform picture across the district, but the question is whether we're at a crisis, and I'm not entirely sure that we are at the moment. But you know, I think we need to go carefully. And on the point you raise about landed zone that will never be developed, I mean we hear these stories all the time, and you know, the evidence suggests that there are lands that have been zoned for many years and show no signs of ever coming forward. That to suggest that we might de-zone them and take them out of the plan, that's a tricky issue to deal with, and one that would have to be tested through the examinations in public if at that stage we were minded to do such things.
Okay, well,
I'll just briefly come back. Sorry for coming in again. No, I agree with what Anthony's saying. You know, but the situation is, you know, if land is banked, you know, you have land banks of housing, that's taken away from our housing growth indicators allocation. So why would we as a council allow land continually be zoned for housing development that won't be zoned? That's taken away from our allocation, and we should be using our allocation then to have more housing in areas that people want to build. If Anthony, maybe answer that, please.
Okay, Anthony.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think as we roll the strategy out and we get into the second half of the plan, those sorts of issues, you know, will be tested. I mean, if whatever allocation we come up with and in terms of the numbers of units that we feel are appropriate, and then have that tested in an examination in public. You know, we are conscious of all those sites and that haven't yet been developed. We'd be conscious of how many units they could potentially deliver. And we will take cognizance of the fact that there is the potential that they may never come forward. And, you know, how we respond to that through the plan, you know, I'm not saying that this is how we will go, but there is the potential to build in a degree of oversupply potentially in recognition that there will be a percentage of sites that for whatever reason may never come to the market. And often the knowledge of these matters may be unknown to us. I mean, you have the whole infrastructure issue that we've already alluded to here, which appears to be delaying quite a number of applications across Northern Ireland. So, you know, what our plan has to be is flexible, that it can absorb any setbacks that might exist, not least of which is the potential for zoned land not coming forward. There needs to be a plan B within the plan itself.
Okay. I think we're getting away from the notice of motion. Una, Sika Dugan has got a comment here. If you're brief. I think we're getting on with this here.
Thanks, Jan. Sorry to come in again. I would just say to Anthony, I know that what he's saying is true, and it's difficult to do anything outside of the approved process. But if you look at the NIHE report on rural social and affordable housing last year, that was their plan up to 2025. I know we shouldn't use the word crisis when it's not appropriate, but in 10 councils across Northern Ireland, there isn't a crisis. Some of them have problems. Some of them have difficulties. But in our council, by the NIHE's own statistics in the 2025 plan, our council is in crisis. We are about 4 to 5 times the graphs that the NIHE have produced show all the other councils in the bottom quadrant of the graph, and our council alone is at the top of the page, running across the top of the graph in each of those graphs. So in my view, the figures speak for themselves. We do have a rural housing crisis for social and affordable housing. The statistics are there to back it up. Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay. Then I'm back to you. You have enough to put on the floor? You have enough to take Dugan's?
Yeah, we can add in Cadogan's, but whatever it is he has on the chat there, and that's fine. And just to sum up, I do welcome all the support from the councillors. So, yes, Robert, if you want to go to the floor, that'd be great.
Oh, okay. Plus self-versus recommendation, Una.
Yeah, and thanks for the work that the officers have done, and appreciate that the motion opens up the debate that we have around housing. As I said earlier, it's not one of us escape the housing issues that we have, and they do come to us day and daily. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Is everybody happy with this notice of motion? Who seconded your...
Councillor Clark seconded it at Phil Council.
Councillor Clark seconds it there.
Yeah.
Okay. And, right, okay. Okay, Roisin Hoyle proposed this as a motion, right? And Willie Clark. Okay. Okay, everybody happy with it? And it's approved.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, it brings on to item number 5. A notice of motion from Councillor Tenley, holiday homes.
Yes.
Gareth, are you there?
Yes, Chairman, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. And, of course, a lot of my motion, Chairman, would have direct overlap to what you have just been discussing there for the past half hour. So, at the outset, I want to thank the planning officers for bringing forward a very detailed and informative report, and I do give it very much a welcome, albeit a qualified welcome, and qualified in the sense that, go back to the issues that have been discussed there previously, the timescale of the local development plan is probably the only thing that is missing from it, any definitive sign that it's about to appear on the horizon seems to be quite a way off. But I do welcome it in the sense, Chairman, that the officers recognise that there is a problem, but they also offer a solution. And it also gives clarity, Chairman, to the public about what powers will lay with council when the new LDP finally comes out the other side, and what powers would lay with Stormont in relation to regulation of holiday homes, unacceptable. But the word was mentioned there a couple of times, crisis. Well, I would say down in my part of South Down, we've already reached that point, particularly for young families and young couples starting out their life's journey together, to be burdened with a mortgage of £250,000, you know, is absolutely scandalous. And that is that tipping point has already been reached down where I live in many cases. And by the sounds of it, by the time the LDP comes actually into play, that could become the norm right throughout the district. So, I mean, like, these young couples and these young families we have to regard them as the lifeblood of our own communities. These are the people that are going to sustain the schools, the sports clubs, and indeed all the local family businesses in the areas where they live going forward. But they're only going to be able to do that, Chairman, if an adequate stock of affordable and social housing is provided. So, notwithstanding the very hard work that our planning department does put in, Chairman, it is concerning that here we are at the end, pretty much, of the second term of the new council. And I mean, it probably could be the fourth term of council before the LDP actually comes into play. But I do welcome the fact that there is a plan. The public will be able to see that there is a plan. And if a Welsh-type solution to regulate holiday homes is required, then it also acknowledges that legislative changes at Stormont will be necessary. So I'll leave it at that, Chairman. And the only other thing I want to say is I fully concur with the remarks previously on the previous item, particularly from Councillor Clark, about, and I would share the concerns about land banking and the points that he made, that they were, you know, those are unit allocations that are given to towns and villages, and when they're not built, that's unit allocations that families are being denied the opportunity to actually build them out of the ground. So I'll leave it at that, Chairman, and thank you for your indulgence.
Okay, Gareth, I see Glenn Hanna, you have seconded that.
Well, Chair, I did say to Gareth said the last, whenever he brought the motion forward, I'm happy to second. Can I make a few comments on it, Robert?
Yeah, you can. But Gareth, you need to propose it.
I'm not in the committee, Chairman, sorry.
No, you're not in the committee. Have we got
somebody? I'm happy to propose it, Chair.
Okay, and we've got a second report. And second by Terry. Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
Quite honestly, I'd like to thank Gareth for bringing this motion forward. It does overlap with what we had before, but in everything Gareth has put in the motion, it is correct. Schools, sports clubs, churches, the communities, especially in smaller villages. The one that jumps to mind with me is Annalong. I see along just the shore road in Annalong now. Most of the houses now, most of them have actually become holiday lets. And all that's going to do in the future, and it will creep, and it starts creeping up into the countryside and even a village like Neonic and Ballymartin. Whenever this starts happening, as Jonathan's mentioned, there are small businesses, small shops, everything starts falling away, so it does. And then the next thing you have, there's no sense of community left, so there's not, and that there's nobody there to keep the churches going, to support the businesses and everything like that there. I really, really do think that what Gareth has done here is highlight a problem. I think, I'm not sure what the solution, Gareth, is to it, whether it needs to be legislated at Stormont or we can do it at a local level here in council, but something does need to be done to address it in the future. And just even to notice, locally around Mourne here, there's more and more people actually, they can work from home now, and there's people that used to would have maybe worked over in, for talk's sake, over in the mainland. They can actually work from home now, so they can, and they're actually, they're buying houses locally here, so they are, and they're really holiday homes, but they're staying backwards and forth. And all it's doing is keeping young people away from houses, and it's actually making the cost of housing very, very expensive, because anybody over in the mainland, the cost of housing over there is double what it is here, maybe even more, triples it is. So, Jonathan, I'm delighted you brought this motion forward, and it is highlighting a problem that will be coming down the road in the future. So thanks, Jonathan.
Okay, two other ones wishing to comment here. Billy Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. No, I agree with the previous speakers. We are in a crisis position. I know in Newcastle we're in a crisis position. And it's not just locally, you know, right throughout Ireland. I read a piece there in regards to Limerick. You know, there's 100,000 population and there's only 4 rental properties available, you know, so it's not unique to us. I think our problem is, you know, the beauty of the area, you know, people do want to have holiday homes in the area, and that is to be encouraged as well. But I think there's an onus on us as a council that we look after local people, you know, local people who've lived here for generations. And then the situation arises where people are under extreme pressures, maybe, you know, from domestic violence or whatever, and then there's intimidation points. That has to be enshrined, you know, that them people do get accommodation. But I find it difficult when any rental property goes up. It's very difficult for local people, you know, to obtain the property. And it's through various issues, as I said. It's through, it could be Airbnb, it could be through holiday home, it could be through, even COVID made a massive difference, because as other people have said, during COVID, people were working from home. They were from Ireland, from our area, maybe living in London, sold up their home, come back, can pay anything for the house, because of the, you know, the disparity between the two regions. And that leaves local people, you know, unable to even bid on a property or unable to rent the property, you know. So, in my opinion, it is a chronic situation we're in. And I'm not taking away from people from Airbnbs who see an opportunity to make a living. And we do need that accommodation also, but it certainly needs to be regulated. This has been talked a number of times within council, and we've written the department, a number of departments, and it's cross-departmental, that there certainly needs to be some sort of legislation brought forward. If we get assembly up and running, that they certainly need to look at this. And I think that's the message that needs to come to this council. Thanks, sir.
Okay, Willie Cadogan.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to thank Charlotte for bringing this forward again, because it's a second layer. I mean, the housing executive has highlighted the very bad situation we offer social affordable housing right across the district and how it's a crisis in rural areas. But in certain, particularly the seaside towns, you know, we've all heard about people from Ross Trevor having to live in Hilltown, and then Hilltown people having to live in Rathfarnham. And I know Strangford in my area, Castle Street, is more than 50% holiday homes. The huge new estate at Ferry Quarter, most of it was sold to expats, and most of the houses are empty. Even now, maybe they're buying the holiday homes or retirement homes. Who knows? I know right across the North Coast, I've heard MLAs talking about the villages along the North Coast having the same sort of situation. So, I mean, what Jara's highlighting is that we have a general problem right across the district, particularly in rural areas, and then there's an additional layer over top of that arising from Airbnb, holiday homes, or people who are buying houses for long-term investment, maybe not even renting them, as in the case of Ferry Quarter. So, you know, we do have a problem here that we have to somehow get past. And certainly the owner's motion will help identify land at the edge of villages that maybe could be brought forward for local people for social or affordable housing. But certainly the Jarlath issue needs to be dealt with as well, because you're ending up with a situation where take Strangford again. You'll be lucky if you get a house in Caliph or Ballyhornan at the moment. Now, a lot of people who play for the Caliph GA club are now living in Carrigduff, because that's where they can afford to buy a house, and maybe they're commuting and they can no longer commute from home. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah, Terry.
Just more or less seconding the Jarlath motion, and I do agree very much with the recommendations as outlined in the paper, and that the existing plan that it is in place needs amended to take on board the concerns that have been raised through Councillor Tilney's motion. So happy to second, Jarlath.
Is everybody in agreement with that? Anybody against it? No. Jarlath, do you want to sum up for a brief?
Yeah, just thank my fellow members for their support. And I mean, like, Councillor Clark again has just zoned in on the nub of the issue, Robert. I mean, like, people coming home from working abroad or working in the UK or even working in Dublin that have a load of cash in their hip pocket, they just blow the local person clean out of the bidding process. And I mean, that is not sustainable in the long term. It's grand when you're a beneficiary. I remember a developer saying to me one time, oh, shall the market decide the price? And that's all well and good if you're a beneficiary, but we cannot allow some of our villages and towns to become nothing more than retirement homes in the years and decades ahead, because the only people that will be able to afford to live in them are people that have upmarketed or moved up or moved back from somewhere else. But it'll certainly not be the local families that, like I said earlier on, should be regarded as the lifeblood of any community. So thank you very much for that support, and I hope it goes through all right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that, Jarlath. That's our end of our notice of motion tonight. That brings us on to item number 6. Night's getting on. I usually have the meeting over by now, but that brings us on to AONB and Geopark Environmental Fund applications. And Jonathan, you're taking that.
Yeah, Chair. Paper just outlines the key themes and the outcomes to be achieved through the application for the AONB activity in the coming 4 years, Chair. We're asking the committee to note the proposed application and to approve the subsequent letter of offer to allow us to proceed to implement, Chair, over the coming months.
Okay. Any questions for Jonathan? If not, I need a proposer and a seconder.
So proposed, Chair.
So proposed by Dermot Corn and a second by Terry Andrews. All in agreement. Okay. That brings us on to item number... Sorry, Terry.
No, you're okay. Just wait a second. What's the position now? Has it gone forward, or is it what we're just sitting to put the application in?
Okay.
Yeah. Chair, this is funding that's set aside within NAEA for the AONBs to bid for.
Right.
It's a submission of the action plan, and then the letter of offer follows. It's not a long, drawn-out bidding process. It is ring-fenced.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Thanks, Jonathan.
David, you're just 1 minute too slow there. Do you want to say anything to it?
All good. No worries.
Okay, you're happy with it? That's okay. That brings us... We're using the chat anyway, and anybody want to propose their seconds from now on, we're using the chat. That brings us on to item number 7, the small settlement scheme. Ross Trevor, Sainfield, Castlewell and Bestbrook. Jonathan, you again.
Chair, the report gives a brief update on where we are across all of the small settlement programme, and it pens the 4 specific EA scheme reports, Chair. The key recommendation is that we proceed now to full planning application as per the recommendations and discussions through the working groups.
Yeah, it's good to see it, this item on the agenda, and it's good to see it moving. Bring who on? Terry, you're first.
Yes, thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, I'm only too happy to propose that we accept, and I'd like to thank the officers for the report and for all involved in the small settlement scheme and getting into completion mode. But I'm more than happy if we do proceed with the recommendations that have been tabled, that it will prove beneficial to the locations that have been specified. So only too glad to propose, Chair.
Okay. David, you're in. Do we wish to second it?
Yes, I'm happy to second this item. Share Councillor Andrew's sentiments. The various officers and staff involved making this a reality for various places, including for us, you know, St. Field and KLA, you know, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, all in agreement, sir. I see nobody against it. Let's move on to item number 8. The non-statutory fee increase for licensing. Colin Johnson, or Jackson even.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you may recall that the Council took a decision to approve a 9% increase in all non-statutory fees across all Council services for the next financial year. So therefore, I'm seeking approval to implement the increase in the licensing fees from the 1st of April. I've provided you with a schedule of fees there, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, any questions for Collie at the moment? Don't see any questions. We need a proposer and a seconder. Proposed by Terry. Are you happy enough with that? Terry's happy enough to second it and proposed by Dermot. Don't see anybody else want to ask any questions. That brings us on to item number 9. In 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014, information relating to financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council, hold that information and the public may be excluded during these items of business. Sorry, the tongue gets on below my foot there at the minute. I need a proposer for that.
So agreed, Chair. Sure. I propose that you go.
Okay. Proposed and second by Dermot. Okay. That takes us on to item number 9. They're all back in, Claire, are they? Are we waiting on the kettle boil? Nobody come back. Go ahead. I'm going to ask Connor to read out them, because I didn't make a note.
Okay, during closed session, the following was agreed. Item 9, Artisan Residence, Down Arts Centre. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Curran, it was agreed to extend a service level agreement for the delivery of an artist in residence programme in Down Arts Centre from April 2023 to March 2024. Item 10, Updated Business Case, Carlingford Lough Greenway. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve the updated business case for the Carlingford Lough Greenway. Item 11, Kilbroney Follows Trail Phase 2, Shared Prosperity Fund Letter of Offer. On the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to accept the UK Shared Prosperity Fund Letter of Offer for the Follows Trail Phase 2 project, and Council accept the revised business case for the Fallows Trail Phase 2. Item 12, Labour Market Partnership, LMP 2023-2024 Action Plan. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to note that Council have prepared and submitted to DFC a strategic assessment and action plan for implementation of a programme of employability and skills initiatives across the district for 2023-2024. It is anticipated that this action plan will be approved by the regional LNP in April 2023. To approve the attached business case for the implementation of the LNP action plan for 2023-2024, and to approve the next steps to progress the delivery of the LNP as set out in section 2.2 of the above report, subject to funding approval. Item 13, digital content support services, tourism, events, museums and arts. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to procure and appoint a specialist provider for a 3-year period to support Council in the development and delivery of high quality digital content, online communications, website support and development for tourism events, museums and arts services. Item 14, Tourism Events Programme 2023-24. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgener, it was agreed to deliver the annual tourism events programme as detailed in the above report, to undertake the necessary procurement exercises to appoint suppliers for the delivery of major festivals in the annual tourism events programme, and to issue letters of offer to name groups as detailed in the above report to deliver tourism events in the 2023-2024 financial year. Item 15, Theatre and Residence. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgener, it was agreed to establish a service level agreement between Council and Dramability for the delivery of a Theatre and Residence programme at Down Arts Centre, initially for 1 year, with the option to renew the agreement for a second year, subject to meeting annual KPIs. Item 16, Castlewelland Forest Park campsite. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Burgess, it was agreed to commit additional budget from the capital programme to deliver a programme of improvement works across the caravan, campsite, amenity buildings at Castlewelland Forest Park. Item number 17. Following a vote of 11 for, 3 against and no abstentions, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Howell, to approve the draft tourism strategy and destination brand for the district to be issued for public consultation in May 2023. Item 18, for noting, Dublin-Belfast Corridor funding agreement. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note funding agreement for 2022-23 and 2023-24 financial years between Belfast City Council and Newry Moreland Down District Council as detailed in point 2.1 in the above report.
Okay, thanks for that, Connor. And then item number 19 is for noting 20, 21, 22 and 23 are also for note. Okay, councillors, can I just thank you for attending the meeting tonight, and I think this is the longest. Or no, I need a proposer for accepting the ones for noting. Have we got a proposer? Councillor Curran, have we got a second report? Councillor Andrews for seconds it. Okay. Can I just thank you all for attending the meeting tonight? I think that's the longest meeting that ERT has had. And can I just wish everyone that's here a safe journey home, and all that's at home, stick the feet up and get the cup of tea. Thanks very much, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.